Let's turn this morning again to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah 5 and verse 1, let's hear the word of God. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know, and seek in her open places if you can find a man. If there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her. Heavenly Father, again, I ask your blessing on the word. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture. Open our hearts, open our minds to receive it. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Question of the day, where can we find a righteous man? Romans 3:10 says that there is none righteous. We good? We're good. No, we're not. Romans says we're not good. There is none righteous. Still, men will argue that point. They want anybody who will listen to know just how righteous they are. Even the men of Judah would argue that they weren't that bad, but they were steeped in idolatry. You know, they had a religiosity about them. They were religious, but they weren't religious in the true religion. God, in his mercy, says to them, go look, run to and fro, run everywhere and see if you can find a man. Some 200 years after this book was written, in Greece, there was a guy named Diogenes. His big claim to fame was he would walk through Athens with a lighted lantern during the day, looking for an honest man. What a guy. Diogenes, as I did a little more research, wasn't all that great of a guy. But that's his claim to fame, walking through the streets with a lantern in the daytime, looking for an honest man. Jeremiah says, go and see if you can find a guy. Go see if you can find a man. Psalm 86:15 says, Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. And he repeats in the 103rd Psalm, The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. You know, the hammer of judgment rarely falls as fast as we deserve it. We see the attributes of God in our daily living. We see even the pagan doing the things that he does and not receiving the lightning bolt from heaven. You know? You think back to Kings and the First Kings and the account of Elijah and his encounter on Mount Carmel. Excuse me. And he actually made fun of the prophets of Baal. He chided them as the prophets of Baal acted the fool in their own religious manner, cutting themselves, screaming, doing all the things that they did. Elijah was making fun of them. And Baal never answered. And of course, Elijah had already set up an offering to God. And he had laid his offering out on the altar, and he had that altar poured over with water till it was really soaked. So nobody was going to go up with their Bic lighter and get it started. And God in his majesty consumed that that offering. The fires of heaven came and brought it up. And often we think, often we think, why doesn't God do that? Surely there are people who are begging for God's judgment. And still we read that God is full of compassion, that God is slow to anger, that he is long-suffering and plenteous in mercy. Thank God for that. If God is not gracious, if God is not plenteous in mercy, we don't wake up this morning. None of us wake up this morning. So what kind of a man is being sought? Well, a righteous man. A righteous man. One who executes judgment. This phrase, this little verse in here, one who, if there is anyone who executes judgment and who seeks the truth, is a two-parter. It's a two-part verse. The first part, those who execute judgment refer to a certain congregation of people, the magistrates, the leaders of the people. He says, is there one among the leadership who is not corrupt? Every time we get into an election season in our country, we always end up coming down to, well, we got to vote for the lesser of two evils. That's what people say. We got to vote for the lesser of two evils. Meaning, whoever you vote for, evil is going to triumph in some way. I don't swallow that whole. There is certainly validity to some of those things. I can tell you if this year, if the candidate for one party gets elected, that this country will experience a communism that it's never known. We've talked about these things over the years. The church has talked about these things over the years for probably since Khrushchev, you know, pounded his shoe on the thing back in the 50s. But we're closer to that reality than we've ever been in our lives. And if God is merciful, we'll escape one more session of that. If God has other plans, if God is using this as an instance for purification for his church, buckle up. And don't be afraid to give him thanks even in that hour, because God is always worthy of thanksgiving. He is always worthy of thanksgiving. So he says, go see if there is anyone who executes judgment, if there is anyone who exercises justice that is true justice. And then he expands it and he says, anyone who seeks the truth, that opens the door to the common man. That opens the door to everybody involved. Is there anyone who can comply to this criteria? What a task would that be? What if God comes to you today and says, go find a righteous man. Go find one who is not corrupt, that is in the political or judicial arenas. Would you have your work cut out for you? Now, you know, the thing about that is, this is a message that God has given to Jeremiah to give to the people of Judah. And from our perspective, Jeremiah was certainly a righteous man. Incidentally, there were a couple of other prophets that were operating during this same time period that were contemporaries of Jeremiah that we would say, from our perspective, were righteous men. But in the people as a whole, what have they found? They found the fall so great from where they were worshiping Almighty God. Oddly enough, I don't know if you can remember this far back when we started looking through this book, but Jeremiah was called and he started working when Josiah was king. You remember Josiah? How old was Josiah when he got anointed to be king? He was 8 years old. I'm not going to go so far as to say that we could tolerate an 8-year-old running the country. But God ordained this 8-year-old young man, and he grew. And as he grew, he discovered God's law. And when he discovered God's law, he brought the people back to say, this is what we need to be doing. We need to be worshiping Almighty God in spirit and in truth. This is what we are called to do. Not to be going around worshiping these false idols that are erected all around the land. We're not to be doing that. But we would say that Jeremiah was probably a righteous man because God was using him for this hour. But that's the task. Go out and do that job. But to what end? What's the benefit of going out and finding the righteous man? Well, I think it's a big benefit. He says, and I will pardon her. Run around Jerusalem, find a righteous man, and I will pardon her. Well, if you're Jeremiah, maybe this gives you a bit of hope. You know, you're having to deliver this heavy message to the people of Judah, and maybe this is a twinkling of hope. And no doubt, a memory came to Jeremiah when God is speaking to him. There was a similar exchange early on between God and Abraham. Back in Genesis chapter 18, I wasn't going to read it, but maybe I will. We see a remarkable thing. Genesis 18, beginning verse 16. Missed it by that much. Some men, they were viewed as men. It was a Christophany. Jesus and a couple of angels had shown up to Abraham's camp, and they had a little dinner with them. Had given them a message that Sarah was going to bring a child forth for Abraham. And then the men rose from there and they looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. So suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous. Would you destroy all of the city for lack of 5? So he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, well, suppose there should be 40 around there. And he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Abraham, what is going on in your mind? And he said, indeed now, I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. 6 times Abraham tests the Lord. God says, I am going to do this. Abraham says, come on. Why does he do that? Because he knows he has family in there. His nephew Lot has taken up residence in Sodom, has made a life for himself down there, seems to be doing pretty well. Abraham does not want his flesh and blood hurt by the judgment of God. And so he takes it upon himself to argue. And 6 times try to get God to change his mind. Is not God's mercy great? How many times have you been exasperated by maybe a kid coming up and asking you for something and never not quitting, you know? Can I have this? No. Can I have this? No. Can I have this? One more time and you're going to get this. And this is an exchange between Abraham and Christ. And the mercy is great. If anyone, in this instance in Jeremiah, he's not whittling it down to 10. He says, if anyone executes justice or seeks truth, there's a willingness to pardon, to remove the judgment that is going to come. You know, this world that we live in has some familiarity with the gospel message. Some may be new to it. Some may indeed maybe never have heard it before. Others have heard it many times. And sometimes the pagan who has heard the gospel message over and over again may just view it as a story. The Bible thumpers are coming again. They're telling us this story. They're, you know, heard it all before. I'm fine. You'll even hear many pagans bragging about their destiny in hell, that they look forward to it. It's going to be a great time. You know, going to be partying there. All their friends will be there, so on. They're lost, but there is no real understanding of what they're lost from. They don't get it. They're confident in their own righteousness. And they feel sure that, you know what, if there really is an issue, if there is really a time that they'll have to face an almighty God in judgment, that they can escape on the basis of their own good works, of their own righteousness, if you would. Just because they're familiar with it, just because they're immune to it, doesn't mean we quit giving it to them. Men need to know that that kind of thinking is false. They need to know that there is an eternal judgment that awaits those apart from Christ. That there is a righteous man, the Lord Jesus. And Acts 4:12 says that there is no other name, there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. The scripture doesn't say it's a good idea if you're saved this way. It might be a nice thing. It says we must be saved through the name of Jesus. Judah was in a position like so many people. They knew who God is, and they knew deep down that they had an accountability to him. But their foolish hearts were darkened. They ignored the truth of God. A truth that no doubt in that world they'd been taught since their childhood. And they embraced idolatry. Isaiah challenges in Isaiah 55:7. He said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Jeremiah said, run to and fro through the streets. Find that man. Jesus told another story in Luke 15. Luke 15, verses 4 through 7. We're reminded that the righteous one does the looking. He tells the parable of a shepherd, of a man who had 100 sheep. That's a pretty good flock. And he had gathered all the sheep into the fold when he noticed one was missing. Now, maybe you and I would call it a night. Got 99 out of 100. I guess that's good enough. I can rest well tonight. I'm sorry about the lost lamb, but you know what? We got 99. But that's not what he told us. He told us that the shepherd went out and looked. And he looked everywhere until he found that lost lamb. You notice the lost lamb wasn't looking to find the shepherd. The lost lamb wasn't looking to join the rest of the flock. The lost lamb was out doing whatever the lost lambs do. And the shepherd found that lamb and drew it from whatever condition he found it. And he laid that lamb across his own shoulders and carried it. The shepherd did that for one lost lamb. And he brought it back to the flock. And that wasn't enough. He brings the lamb back to the flock, lets the lamb join into the flock. He doesn't call it a night then. The shepherd doesn't kick back and snooze. The shepherd is excited for that one lost lamb. And he calls everybody, telling that he is joyful because the lamb that was lost has been found. He's excited about that. And he goes on to say that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous who need no repentance. We need to be reminded of that sometimes. That heaven rejoices over the repentance and the bringing home of that one lost lamb. We need to be reminded when we go to God and confess our sins that there is joy in heaven over our confession. If only Judah had repented. If only Judah had listened to the voice of God. If only the one who needs it most would do so today. To confess their sins to God. He wants to hear it. He wants to forgive. And then we get up, and as Paul wrote in Ephesians, we go about our business in the Lord's strength, being strong in the Lord, and in the power of His might, we go on. We don't depend upon our own strength to survive these days. We depend upon the power of His might. Thank God for that. Thank God for His mercy and His grace to extend that to us and be blessed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I